Our text for this evening consists of two verses. First of all, verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. And then verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. As we announced this morning, our subject for this evening is breakfast with Christ. And that's not something I've made up, or it's not a flippant title to a sermon. It is a scriptural title, as we shall see in a moment or two. Breakfast with the Lord Jesus. We read in the opening verse, After these things Jesus showed himself again to his disciples. He showed himself again. At the end of our reading tonight, we discovered that it was now the third time that Jesus had showed himself unto his disciples. But the Lord had showed himself unto others, apart from his disciples. And if you go through the gospel record, you will discover that this is now the seventh time that the Lord revealed himself after his resurrection. And he reveals himself here at the Sea of Tiberias unto seven of his disciples. Seven disciples who got away from the Lord. Seven disciples who had forsaken and deserted their Lord in his time of trial and crucifixion. One, as we know, had denied the Lord with oaths and curses, and the others had forsaken him. They have not been restored to fellowship. In many ways, the seven disciples that the Lord appeared unto that morning may be regarded as backsliders. Yes, disciples were backsliders. As I said, they had got away from God. They had forsaken their Lord. They had been found in the company of the ungodly. And as yet they had not been restored to fellowship with the Lord. That on the Sea of Tiberias, we often use the phrase when someone is either confused or mixed up, we say, oh, they're at sea. Well, these seven disciples in that sense were at sea. They were at sea physically because that's where they were. They'd spend all night fishing. They were at sea emotionally. And they were at sea spiritually. They really didn't know where they stood with the Lord. They were confused in many ways. And the memory of their forsaking the Lord and the memory of Peter's denial was still very fresh in their minds. Now, what were they to do? What were they to do? Were their ministries finished? They had forsaken their Savior Peter to deny them with oaths and curses, swearing that he never knew Christ at all. Was his ministry finished? Was the ministry of James and John finished? Thomas and Nathaniel, the disciples? Did it mean they were finished? Would they ever walk with God again? Would they ever be in fellowship with Christ again? Would they ever preach the gospel again? What were they to do? In many ways, their night of fruitless fishing summed up their whole life. There they were, spending a night on the Sea of Tiberias, laboring all night and caught nothing. Empty nets, empty hearts, empty souls. Where were they with God? It was just then. After a night of fishing and catching nothing, it was just then that the Lord Jesus appeared on the shore. That the Lord Jesus manifested himself, revealed himself to them. He came at the right time. The Lord Jesus always comes at the right time. The Lord is never too late. Never late. He's never early. He's always just at the right time. And he came at the right time for the 7 disciples. And after he had instructed them on what to do, he then says to them in verse 12, come and dine. Come and dine. The word dine means breakfast. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, come and breakfast. Come and breakfast with me. They'd been laboring all night, caught nothing. Laboring all night, and evidently they hadn't eaten anything. They'd been fasting all night, and they hadn't caught any fish, they hadn't caught any food. And it was then that Jesus appeared unto them and said, come and dine. I wonder where we are this evening with the Lord. Can we say that we're in fellowship with him? Maybe there's someone here tonight and you know in your heart of hearts that you're backslidden, away from God. Maybe you wonder where you are with God. You wonder where you stand with God. Am I saved or am I not? To you, the Lord Jesus says, come and dine. I want to look at this night scene and the events surrounding it. First of all, I want us to consider the 7 upon the sea. The 7 disciples are referred to in verse 2. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and 2 other of his disciples. Count them up and you'll find there's 7 disciples. When the Lord appeared unto the 7, they were at sea. Now the Sea of Tiberias is the same as the Sea of Galilee. Just another name for the Sea of Galilee. You know that from John 6 and verse 1. So here you have the place. With regard to the 7 disciples, where are they? They're in the Sea of Galilee. There's the place. You take the name Galilee. Galilee means a circle. I believe that's very significant. Now, the disciples are here at Galilee, a place that means a circle. Where did the Lord Jesus call his first disciples? As he was walking along the shores of Galilee. It was then that he called James and John, another of his disciples. That's where they started out with the Lord. They started out with the Lord at the Sea of Galilee. Where are they now? They're back at Galilee. Their life has turned a complete circle. Just as Galilee means, circle. In other words, they're back where they started. They're back where they started. That's the way of the backslider. That's where the backslider is tonight. Right back where they started. Paul exhorted the believers in Galatia to grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Growth, or growing, indicates growth and going forward, making an advancement. We watch our children and our grandchildren grow up, and as we see them grow and develop, we say, well, they're in good health, they're eating well, and they're growing. Peter said, we're to desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby. But if we're not growing spiritually, then we're not going forward. We're not making any progress. And here are the disciples. They're no longer walking with the Lord. Where are they? They're back where they started. Their ministry has turned a complete circle. Over the previous 3 years, they were working for the Lord. They were witnessing for the Lord. They were walking with the Lord. But where are they now? Right back where they started. And it was then that the Lord Jesus said, come and dine. Come and sit with me. Come and dine. The Lord that morning was to restore those disciples to their fellowship with the Lord. And from that point on, they would begin to go forward again. Why, Peter was the great preacher on the day of Pentecost. He's going forward again. You know, dear backslider, tonight you can start out afresh with the Lord this very night. This can be your Galilee. While for the disciples it meant they were back where they started, well, we find that at Galilee it's where they started out again. It meant a fresh start for them. I want you to know something else about the place. We notice further that when the 7 disciples were at sea at Tiberias, they were actually in the wrong place. They were in the wrong place as far as their relationship with the Lord was concerned. If you turn back with me to Matthew 28, it's the resurrection morning. And the angel appears unto those visiting the sepulchre. Verse 6, Matthew 28, he is not here, for he has risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Look at verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren or my disciples that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Yes, the seven disciples were at Galilee. They were in the Sea of Galilee. But that's not where the Lord said he would meet them. For if you look at verse 16 of Matthew 8:28, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. In other words, he met the 11 disciples eventually in the mountain, but what were the seven doing on the Sea of Galilee? They're in the wrong place. They should have been on the mountain. That's where the Lord said he would meet them, on the mountain outside Galilee. And once again, when you bring that into the context of the disciples being in a backslidden state, a backslider doesn't live on the mountain with God. A backslider lives in the lower regions. When we speak about being on the mountain, we sang there tonight, set my feet on higher ground. We talk about being up the mountain with God. That's where we long to be. This world has no attraction for us. It's the mountaintop is where we want to be with God. You can understand why Peter, along with James and John, wanted to stay on the mountaintop that time the Lord was transfigured before them. Peter said, let's build here tabernacles. In other words, Peter wanted to stay on the mountaintop. Now, when you've been at a meeting in which the Spirit's presence and power is evident, you're led to the mountaintop. You're led to higher ground where the air is pure and ethereal. And that's where we want to stay. We want to stay on the mountaintop. You want to stay in that meeting. You hardly want to go home. As we mentioned last week in revival, in the Isle of Lewis, after Duncan Campbell had preached, suddenly the Spirit of God came in power and the congregation was dismissed. And then one of the deacons came in and said, Mr. Campbell, come and see this. And they're standing outside. Was the congregation only it had increased. People didn't want to go home. They'd had a taste of the mountaintop experience with Christ, and that's where they wanted to stay. But these disciples were not on the mountain with Christ where they should have been. With the Sea of Galilee. Then you have not only the place, but the persons. We know the identity of five of these disciples: Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, namely James and John, and two unnamed disciples. Some speculate that it may have been Philip and Andrew. It's only speculation. Peter, James, and John. Think of it. Peter, James, and John. Members of the inner circle of the Lord's disciples. Peter, James, and John had been with Christ to places the others had never been. Peter, James, and John, who had things revealed to them by Christ that was not revealed to anyone else. And now where do we find them? In a backslidden state. The Lord hath already appeared to Thomas, doubting Thomas, Yet we find Thomas is in the wrong place. He's away fishing. And Nathaniel, last mentioned in the first chapter of this book, now he appears again, a man in whom is no guile, a man whom the Lord said he would see greater things than these. Great prospects for Nathaniel. Lord said, you'll see greater things than these. Where is he now? He's in the wrong place. Should be in the mountain with Christ. But he spent the night fishing with the others. As far as Peter, James, and John are concerned, the things we've mentioned, that was all in the past. And what the Lord said to Nathanael, that was in the past. You know, that's just like the backslider. They may talk about great times and the things they did for the Lord, but they're living in the past. I know of individuals over in Ulster. And they were not going on with God. They were not living for the Lord. And whenever you get in conversation with them, all they talked about was the past. The early days of the Free Church, the battles, the victories. They talked about the past. Because that's all they had to talk about. They were away from God and had nothing to talk about with regard to the present, what they were doing for God now. And what are we doing for the Lord now? If we are to talk about the things of God, can we only talk about the past? Things we used to do. The way we used to witness and work. But what are we doing now? Anything? Are we at sea? Are we on the mountain with the Lord? So you have the seven disciples, then you have their spontaneous decision. And Simon Peter suggested going fishing. The others said unto him, we also go with thee. Spontaneously they responded, we're going too. Peter returns to his former occupation. That's what he started out as, a fisherman. And then you remember in Galilee, as the Lord said to the other disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Peter, James, and John, I'm calling you to be fishers of men. What are you doing now? They were back at their old occupation. So he said their lives had turned a complete circle. They were back where they started. Hadn't made much progress. The thing that strikes you about this is that when Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing, they say unto him, we also go with thee. That's the way of the backslider. You'll find that the backslider will often lead others away from God too. That's what Simon was doing. He was going back to his old occupation, and the others said, we go with thee. And it says that they entered into the ship immediately. They never thought about what they were doing. They never thought about or contemplated what they were about. See, the backslider doesn't want to think about that. It's true. The person who's away from the Lord, they don't want to come face to face with the truth regarding themselves. But only stop a while and face the truth as to regard where they are with God, and they might get right with God. But the one who's backslidden in heart doesn't want to face the truth. Just like the 7 disciples. I go a fishing, we'll go with you. And they got into the ship immediately. Never thought. Now we're away from God and we're doing something that the Lord called us from. They never thought about that. And we're told that they were together. Backslider will often lead others astray. Notice their severe disappointment. In verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. It's not surprising. Not surprising. But there is a severe disappointment. Now let's remember, these were skilled fishermen. These men had often gone out fishing. And I have no doubt that that night they used all the skill that they had as fishermen. Even though they hadn't used that skill for over 3 years, yet I'm sure it was still there. As we often say, when you learn to ride a bicycle, you never forget. You can leave off riding a bicycle for 40 years and go back to it, and you can just get on as if you're riding the bike every day. It's just the same with fishermen. They never forget how to fish. But the 7 disciples had labored all night. And they came home with nothing. Two words there that speak very forcibly and highlight their disappointment. Night and nothing. There's a great emptiness in the heart of the backslider. Just as there was an emptiness here with the 7 disciples. Oh, their nets were empty. Hadn't caught a thing. The word nothing there could be rendered absolutely nothing. As though to emphasize, there wasn't even one fish in the net. It's quite remarkable. You can fish all night, not even catch one. But that's the way it is with the backslider. There's not even one thing in their life to encourage them. Their heart is empty. So it was with the 7 disciples. Their empty nets were just a symbol of their empty hearts. Is your life symbolized by emptiness? Is your heart full of Christ? Full of a love for Christ? Full of a longing for Christ? And you say with the psalmist, my cup runneth over. My cup's running over. Or is there an emptiness there? So we have seen the 7 at sea. Now we want to look at the stranger on the shore. After a night of laboring and catching nothing, the disciples suddenly behold a stranger standing on the shore. For verse 4 tells us that when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. There's the stranger on the shore. First of all, we have the dawn. For it says, but when the morning was now come, there's the dawn. After a night of nothing, no doubt the disciples were glad to see the dawn, they were glad to see the morning. Whenever the dawn comes, what is it? What does it mark? It marks the beginning of a new day. And for these disciples, marked the beginning of a new day. Because the one who stood on the shore was none other, of course, than the Lord Jesus, the one who's called the Son of Righteousness. And the Son of Righteousness stood there on the shore and seeing Christ and the appearance of Christ marked a new beginning for those seven wayward, backslidden disciples. Because when the Lord Jesus appeared to them on the shore, He said to them, come and dine. Come and sit with me. Whenever we sit around a table with a family, it's a time of fellowship. Good to sit around the table with the family, and He was going to bring them into fellowship once again. They hadn't been in fellowship with the Lord for a number of days. They'd been laboring all night and they'd caught nothing. They wondered whether they would ever minister again, whether they would ever be used to catch men instead of fish. Now a new day was dawning. This can be a new day for you. For anyone here tonight who's not walking with the Lord, you've drifted away from God, haven't been in fellowship with the Lord days, maybe months, maybe years. But the Lord is gracious and He's merciful. He says tonight, come and dine. The beginning of a new day. But then you notice the blindness of the disciples. Although they had walked and worked and witnessed with and for the Lord for 3 years, yet that morning they did not recognize Him. So it says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They didn't recognize Him. This reminds us that the backslider very often does not have an eye for Christ. He stands ready to pardon, ready to forgive, but they don't recognize Him. They don't have an eye for Christ. They're looking, as it were, in another direction. They're looking to what the world has to offer. They're looking at what can be found outside of the Christian life. They don't have an eye for the Lord. And even when He draws near, maybe even in a meeting like this, they don't recognize Him because they're not looking for Him. Then you notice not only the dawn, but their dumbness. The stranger of Galilee now addresses the seven disciples, and He said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered Him, no.
That's all they said. There you have the challenge. When challenged, the disciples had nothing to say. They had nothing to set before their master. It's really what it's about. Children, have you any meat? Have you anything to set before me? Have you anything that we can eat together and fellowship together? Children, have you any meat? And all they could say was no. Didn't make any excuses. Didn't try to reason it out. Remind us of that man in the parable. The Lord spoke to his disciples when they asked him to teach them to pray. Told the parable about a man whose friend came on an unexpected journey from a far country. And the man had nothing to set before him. So he went to his neighbor to borrow loaves. But the man had nothing to set before him. I wonder if the Lord were to challenge us tonight with that word. Children, have you any meat? Have you anything to set before me? Have you anything to give me? What would we have to answer tonight? Would we have to say, Master, no. I have nothing to give thee. It's sad, isn't it? Disciples had labored all night with nothing to set before Christ. Maybe we have spent quite a few nights as those who profess to know the Lord. Yet when he asked us, children, have you any meat? Have you ever said before me? We still have to say no. He'll challenge us on the day of judgment. When we stand before his judgment seat, he may ask the same question, children, have you any meat? Wonder, will we have to answer again? No. I've lived so many years as a Christian that in all that time I didn't do a thing for thee. And it's sad. Because I believe that when we see him, no matter how hard we work for him, by and by, when we look on his face, that beautiful face, that wonderful face, by and by, when we look on his face, we'll wish we had given him more. But have we given him anything? You notice not only the challenge, but the Lord Jesus still called them children. He said, children, have you any meat? He didn't come down upon them with words of judgment and condemnation. But he spoke with compassion and love. Just as we were dealing this morning with the Spirit of Christ. Here it is. Here it is. A gentle spirit. That gracious spirit. Now these are men that had denied the Lord and Peter had cursed. With oaths and curses he had denied his Savior. And yet the Lord appeared that morning on the shore of Galilee and still called him his child, along with the rest of them. Children, have you any meat? They're still his children. Dear backslider, tonight you're still child of the Lord. If that time in the past when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, if you really gave your heart to Christ and you were regenerated by the Spirit of God and made a new creature, but since then you've got away from the Lord, you're still his child. And he'll not let you go. There's evidence here. Still call them children. There's grace. Oh, I tell you, there is grace. There is love. They were still his children. Really, in a sense, we're all backslidden in heart. Because we're not living as close to the Lord as we ought to be. But we're still God's children. Then you will notice the directive. In verse 6, and he said unto them, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. There's the directive. After all they had been through the night before, they willingly took this advice from this stranger, because they still hadn't recognized him. So what were they doing? When the Lord told them to cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. He didn't say you may find. He said ye shall. The Lord knew where all the fish were. Every single one of them. Because they're numbered here. All that were in the net were given the exact number. Ye shall find. So whenever the disciples took the Lord's directive and did what he told them to do, what were they really doing? They were putting the Lord in charge. They had been in charge all night and caught nothing. They had labored without the Lord and caught nothing. They didn't have Christ in the vessel, so they caught nothing. Now they put the Lord in charge and they have a multitude of fish. It always works that way, believer, when you put the Lord in charge. When you let Him lead your life. When He is your guide through life. That's the way to live, of course. Put Christ in charge. Because the backslider doesn't have Christ in charge of his life. He has taken charge himself. And there is a way that seemeth right unto man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Far better to put the Lord in charge. If it's been a long time from Christ has been in charge of your life, well, you can start tonight. For the Savior says, come and dine. Look at the largeness of the catch. The Lord told them to cast the net on the right side of the ship. As far as the Lord's concerned, there's always a right side of everything. And the Lord will always lead you to the right side of the ship. Praise His name. He'll never lead you the wrong way. He'll never lead you in the wrong direction. He'll always lead you in the right way. He told the disciples to cast their net on the right side of the ship. And ye shall find, no doubt. need to take the Lord at His word. They could have said, but we've labored all night, as Peter said before in Luke chapter 5. The Lord told them to let down their nets. Peter says, but we've labored all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the nets. The Lord said, let down your nets, plural. Peter only went halfway. There was still the doubt in his mind, but we have labored all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the net, singular. There's only let one net down. Yet it was filled. We need to learn to take the Lord at His word. Fully trust in Him. And here we find they had a multitude of fishes. Labored all night, caught nothing. In fact, proper time to fish was at night. Yet the Lord told them to let down their nets there at the beginning of the day. No matter how ridiculous and silly it may appear, whatever the Lord tells us to do, we ought to do it. And He'll reward us for our faith. And then you have the discovery. When the miracle was wrought, in an instant the eyes of the disciples were opened. Verse 7. He was recognized by John. Because we read in verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved. We all know that that's how John always referred to himself in his gospel. That disciple loved. But isn't it interesting that he's still able to use that phrase even though he's just forsaken Christ? Yet he still says, that disciple whom Jesus loved. In other words, John knows that even though he has forsaken his master, that Jesus still loves him. He's still that disciple whom Jesus loved. And dear backslider, tonight Jesus still loves you. That phrase, that term is used in a very flippant way these days. Smile, Jesus loves you. No time for it. But John wasn't being flippant here. For John refers to himself, that disciple whom Jesus loved. And believer, Christ still loves you. Five times in the Gospels you have that phrase, or in John's Gospel, that disciple whom Jesus loved. Five times. Five is the number of grace. And there is the grace of God in the life of John, that after what he had done and forsaken his master, the Lord still loves him. That's grace. And finally, and very quickly, you have the Savior upon the sand. We're told in verse 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon, and bread. Fish, fire, and bread. Where does it all come from? The disciples had nothing to lay before the Lord, and yet when they came to the shore, there was fish there, and there was bread there, and there was fire. You know what I believe? I believe the Lord created the fish and the bread and the fire there on the shore. He hadn't brought anything with him whenever he asked the disciples' children, have you any meat? Nevertheless, it's a mystery. But it's not what our souls feast upon, the mysteries of God, the mystery of election. My, how it blesses our souls. the mystery of creation, the mystery of redemption. Things we cannot explain, but now our souls feast on these mysteries and we're blessed. Come and dine. Give the preparation, give the invitation. The Lord Jesus said, come and dine. Come and break fast. And give the manifestation. Jesus says unto them, verse 12, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. They dare not ask him. They didn't want to show their ignorance. They hadn't recognized him at first, but they recognize him now. As they sit down to dine with the Lord, just like the two Emmaus disciples, when they sat down to dine with Christ, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Their eyes were on Christ. For the seven disciples, their eyes were again fixed on Christ. That's where the backslider needs to get his or her eyes. Once again, fixed on Christ. You don't have your eyes on the Lord. Get your eyes on Christ tonight. Or if you're not saved at all, you never looked to the cross, you never looked to Christ and lived, look tonight. Look and live. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our dear Father and our loving God, we rejoice once more in the person of Christ. We rejoice that he is indeed such a tender, compassionate friend. Even as we have seen tonight how he dealt with those disciples, great gentleness and grace, being merciful, long-suffering toward them. Sure, Lord, we know that that's how thou hast dealt with us. And Lord, if there are any in the meeting and they're far from thee, and not living the Christian life, not walking with the Lord, so let other things come between, Lord, may they look to Christ tonight. May they come and dine tonight and look to the Lord Jesus. Turn their eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. For we know the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. Grant everyone traveling mercy. Take us to our homes in safety. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and until the day breaks. And the shadows all flee away and we see our great King in all his beauty and loveliness. In his dear name we pray. Amen.